Blog Talk Radio.
I want to present to some and introduce to others your host for Anything But Ordinary Radio, Mr. Michael McCleary.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of Anything But Ordinary Radio. I am, as Chris Gloss just announced me, Michael McCleary, and I'm so excited to come tonight to all of you to join us for a great evening. We have some great guests. My good friend, filmmaker, and entrepreneur Casey Turner is with us tonight. And at the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by Patrick Matthew, who is an author and speaker and also a good friend of mine. And both of them, in fact, were involved in my film, An Anything But Ordinary Journey. Casey, as the director and editor and cameraman and everything else that he did, we all played a lot of different hats in the making of that film. And Patrick is one of the stars of the movie. In fact, he continues to get a lot of attention from a lot of people that I know who have not only seen the movie, but have also seen clips of the trailer and clips of the film. A lot of people really like Patrick's message, and so I'm really excited to have him back with us as well, because he's not a stranger to the show. He's been on a number of different times, and so we're really excited about that. Without further ado, I'd also like to introduce, before we get to our first guest, Mr. Casey Turner, my wonderful co-host, Maria DiGiovanni, is with us from Los Angeles, California. Maria, how are you doing tonight?
I am good, Michael. How are you?
I am great. I am really looking forward to our two guests.
So am I. This is going to be very exciting.
It is. And just to encourage all of our new listeners as well, and those that are listening in who aren't in the chat room, please feel free to click on that little chat icon and join us in the chat room. Join us in there. You're welcome to ask questions and just have fun with the people in the chat room. It's kind of fun. We have a lot of people who chat and talk in there, ask questions. So please do so. Just remember, you do have to have a free Blog Talk Radio account. It just takes a few seconds to sign up in order to ask questions. If you're signed in as a guest, well, you just get to watch. You don't get to ask any questions. Sorry, it's not our rules. It's theirs. And also for our new listeners, please join us every week. We interview amazing, fascinating guests who are here to really encourage you, to help you create the extraordinary life of your dreams just by listening to them, listening to some of their thoughts, their ideas, the struggles, the trials and tribulations they've been through, but also spending time with them and learning a lot of things and being motivated. That's what we're here for, to really encourage you every week. So we're here every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. You're welcome to join us and also listen to us on the archives. I know a lot of our listeners join us that week every week as well. There we go, every week as a week as well. Sorry, I'm repeating myself. And one thing, too, we are really close to Election Day. Maria, by the time we all come to you next week, a lot of polls will have been closed. And I just want to encourage all of our listeners to get out there and vote, no matter what your beliefs or political visions or aspirations, or if you have none. I really do encourage all of our listeners, particularly in the United States, to get out there and vote next week and make a difference in what you're doing. Research your candidates, research the different proposals and things that are going on. Don't necessarily just listen to the quick comments and some of the nasty commercials that are out there, but do your homework and vote for the person that you think best matches what you're looking for and what you're trying to do. So I want to encourage everyone to do that as well. And before we get started, Maria, anything from you?
I just want to make sure you're safe in that weather over there. I heard the rain today. So are you cool?
Yeah, we're cool.
We don't
it's
have
kind of
that
funny
kind of weather here.
We were, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't as bad as we thought it was, but it's funny, just for those who are listening in, I was driving down to a meeting I had in Carroll, Michigan, and I was talking to Maria on the phone, and it was just funny because she could actually hear. She goes, "Is that rain against your windshield?" And I said, "Yeah, it is," because we were talking about the show and what we were going to do today. So it was just kind of funny.
Gosh, it drizzles here in California, and everyone freaks out. So I don't know what we would do with 6 inches of snow or sleet or ice. Crazy.
It's just
anyway.
All rain here.
That's good. Glad you're safe and you're on air. But let's go.
Yes, we are. And we have lots of guests joining us. I see in the chat room. Again, just really quick, because I see a bunch of people just joined in. If you are in the chat room and you're a guest, unfortunately, you won't be able to post any comments, but you're welcome to listen in and watch what's going on there. But if you would like, just go in and sign up for a quick Blog Talk Radio account, re-log in, and you'll be able to join us and ask questions of our guests. I really encourage it. We have a lot of fun going on in the chat room. And really quickly, too, before we get started, I always like to share our quote of the day. And today's quote of the day is by Lao Tzu, and it reads, "Do the difficult things while they are easy, and do the great things while they are small. A journey of 1,000 miles must begin with a single step." And I think this quote really applies to both of our guests today, because their journeys have both really began with a number of small steps, and they've come a long, long way. And without further ado, I'd like to bring on our first guest, Mr. Casey Turner. And Casey is an artist that likes to create in the mediums of video production, photography, music, and writing. After graduating from Spring Arbor College with a communications degree focused on broadcasting, he found himself partnering with his friend, Michael McCleary, which is, of course, me, sharing with you. And he helped me start Beacon Media LLC. And in 2009, Casey also worked alongside of me as the director and editor of An Anything But Ordinary Journey. He's an entrepreneur. He started numerous companies, including the Warehouse Skate Park, Turner Arts, which is his company now. And he's also launched another new venture called Thumb Magazine, which looks to share the amazing stories of people, places, events, and organizations in the Thumb area of Michigan. Casey has created the first online video magazine to this area, and with many 3 to 5 minute stories, he has set out to change the culture through positive community building stories, what we need most, a lot more positive stories out in our area and really all over the world. And what's great about Casey's online magazine is, though it's really focused on these stories in the Thumb area of Michigan, which is an agricultural area of Michigan, they're really great stories that apply to people no matter where you are in the country or the world. There's lots of great positive information to get from him, and so I'm really proud of him and what he's doing. And further ado, as I suck up the airwaves, Casey Turner, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, good evening, Mike and Maria. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Welcome.
Well, it's been long overdue, Casey. I should have had you on earlier.
I was figuring you were waiting to play that card. You were just waiting until the last minute, you know. It was like, bam, play the Casey card. So I'm glad I'm on tonight. I've been waiting for this for a while. I've got a whole speech here prepared. No, I'm kidding. I'm just ready.
Well, it's funny. I had someone who actually posted that you were going to be on. It says the normally quiet Casey, because a lot of times Casey's behind the scenes and he doesn't say a lot behind the scenes. But if you get to know Casey, he's really not that quiet of a guy. You're actually not at all. So,
yeah, I tend to ramble, don't I, Mike?
No, you don't tend to ramble. You just you're an entertainer at heart, one way or the other.
Yeah,
a rambler.
A rambler. He's the rambling man. But Casey, tell us a little bit about about taking these steps in the journey, because what's interesting for those that don't know you, you originally grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area and moved to Michigan during college, and you have stayed here ever since. We've not let you go back to California. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how fate kind of steps in and you end up here in this place called the Thumb of Michigan, and you are back busy doing video production here in an area that most people wouldn't expect.
Yeah, I would have never imagined I would be here doing what I'm doing, but it just kind of that's the way it played out. And you know, it's actually been incredibly awesome. I've enjoyed it. There's been moments where I've been like, why, you know, but then there's moments where I've fallen in love with the place where I live and the people, and it's just kind of grown on me. But yeah, doing video production in a agricultural area, it's, you know, up until, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, was pretty much unheard of, really, unless you were filming crops growing or something like that. But when we started Beacon Media, the internet really allowed us, gave us the capability to really reach out, branch out, and connect all over the United States and Canada and really all over the world. And so if it wasn't for technology, you know, we wouldn't be able to do what we do from here. And so just been blessed to be able to do that. And I've worked other jobs and done other things in the community, which has been great, getting to meet people and understand the culture here better, which was foreign to me. But now I live on a farm. I don't live in a town or a city. I just recently moved out to a 110-year-old farmhouse that my wife's grandparents and great grandparents lived in. And it's actually been, it's just incredible. I never would have thought this is where I'd be, but, you know, here I am editing away in a farmhouse. So go figure.
the old and the new world come together at the same time. Like you said,
yeah.
110-year-old farmhouse?
I think so. I know it's over 100 years. Yeah, this house has been here forever. Actually, in the basement, there's like trees that are the beams of the house. It's like a tree. You know, it's not like a 2x4.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't live in a log cabin, mind you. It's a nice home. But they're just saying it's kind of a cultural clash, if you will. And I enjoy it. I think, you know, one of my old mottos was that, you know, it takes one drop to start a waterfall. And the idea that it doesn't matter where you're at or, you know, who you're connected with, it's just following what's inside of you, how you're uniquely gifted, and just going in that. And in playing to an audience of one, I'm not worried about the world. It's just living it out day by day. And I think, you know, just want to encourage people wherever they're at, be it, you know, San Francisco or, you know, Timbuktu, it doesn't really matter, but being passionate about who you are and how you're gifted in moving in that direction, that's what I'm all about. And so I kind of saw it as it's a hill to climb to try and do things in a rural community like, you know, Mike, like we've been doing, but still it's a great challenge to face, and it's a lot of fun.
In fact, Casey, I mean, one thing's you've played a number of different roles while you've been here in Michigan. You've worked a number of different jobs. And I know a lot of people out there have gone through this process of trying to figure out, what is it that I'm supposed to do with my life? They're sitting there trying to figure out what it is. And maybe they've done a few different things, and they're just like, this isn't working. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm just not happy. Maybe you could share a little bit of what you've learned through the process, because you've gone through that numerous times, trying to figure out, what is it that I'm supposed to do with this life, and what advice you have for people who are in the same situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I struggle with too sometimes. I think being raised in America, we have a society that kind of pushes an agenda on us, and we're raised to think a specific way. And so we relate, I tend to relate who I am to what I'm doing. And I guess for me, one of the things I've learned just in my 30s here, just kind of recently, is that it's not what I'm doing, it's what I'm being, who I am. And that really changed for me, you know, when I get down and I start to feel like, oh man, I'm not doing great things. I'm not changing the world like I wish to, you know, I'm not bettering my community and my family like I'd like to. I tend to focus on, because I'm not doing something big enough or great enough. But the reality is great change comes from being who we're supposed to be, and the doing comes from that. And so, you know, for me, it's who I am while I'm doing whatever I'm doing. So when I can focus on who I am and being the person I'm supposed to be, so not do, you know, not a doobie, but, you know, not the Doobie Brothers, but no, it's the difference between doing and being. It sounds like Yoda, like, do not be here. You know, it's like this crazy, I don't know. I don't know what you want to call it, but if I focus on the doing, I'll always be let down. I'll always see greener grass some other place. I'll always feel like I could do better. But when I focus on the being, when I focus on being who I'm supposed to be, I can polish shoes, you know. I can chop down trees. I can farm. I can run a corporation. I can do whatever. It doesn't matter because I have peace with who I am, and I have peace with my being. And so, to me, that's been the hardest thing to learn for me, because culturally, like I said, it's like beat into you that you have to do things to be something. And I believe the opposite. And so that's my deep thought for the night, Mike.
Casey, I have a question for you.
Yeah,
when you come up, when you walk this path to being and becoming who you're supposed to be so you can do, okay, or do so you can be, when you come across conflict with people that want to see you not succeed, what do you do? What do you do to get past that and go beyond it?
Oh, that's a good question. First, I freak out, and then I know what you're talking about. I read a book once, and they call them border bullies, or you know, they're people that are on the border to what it is you want to do, and they tend to have they tend to see you in a specific way, and they want you to be that way. But I don't know. I guess for me, I look to faith as something that gets me through, and I really think about who my audience is. If my audience, if the people I'm trying to please are those people, then they affect me greatly, because I value their opinion. I look to them for, you know, a pat on the back. You know, and we all look at those things, and there's, I mean, daily I struggle with it. But when I play to the right audience, for me that's God. When I look to God and who He has called me to be, and I realize that that's really the only person that I answer to in my faith, I tend to, that's where I draw my strength in those moments to push on and move forward. So, I mean, that's really how I do it. How about you, Maria?
So you continue to just focus on your spiritual mirror, and that's it, correct?
Yeah, I tend to focus on, I read the Bible, and I read what's in there, and I focus on what God's, how, who He's called me to be, and I work on that. And so, yeah.
I love it. Thank you.
We have a question from the chat room I'm going to throw out there. And thank you for our chat room guests for sharing your questions. And please, if you're checked into the chat room or if you're just listening in and you want to join the chat but don't have a Blog Talk Radio account, please just quickly sign up for a Blog Talk Radio account, and you can re-log into the chat room, and guess what? You can post and ask questions, so do so if you feel so inclined. But the question we have is from Laura, and she asks, how do you feel working with Michael McCleary, and how did the two of you become friends? Where did you meet?
You want me to answer that?
Oh, it's a two-parter. That's a two-parter. Like,
oh, it's a two-parter.
Yeah, you can start with how we met first.
Well, our wives went from kindergarten through all the way through their senior year together in school, and grew up in this area where we both live. And so when we both met, it was like we are what we call, they call up here in the thumb, they call us city. It's guys from the city. And we just kind of had this mutual bond. It was like, hey, we both had this kind of outside perspective, and we connected in those ways. And I think you had this vision to encourage entrepreneurs at the time, and we went on this trip to do a video together, and we just connected, we just gelled, and it just was the beginning of a good friendship. So,
yeah, that was our first thing we really did together was we went to Washington, Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
for the 2001 inauguration, because I was looking to start a company at the time that went absolutely nowhere, but Casey thought it'd be great, let's do a road trip, and we'll shoot some footage at the, you know, there in Washington, D.C., and we were a little crazy, and we had fun, and we just clicked. So that's where we met. And
what was the second part?
How do you feel working with Michael McCleary?
Oh, how do I feel? Lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, just amazing. No, I enjoy it. I mean, yeah, I mean, we've been working together. I don't know how long we've been working together, but I mean, I don't know. It's always different. I mean, who knows what we're going to be working on next week. It's just, it's always one thing to the next, so it's always an adventure.
That brings up my next question. What is it that you see yourself producing in the next year?
In the next year?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now I started thumbmagazine.com, and so I'm actually really enjoying finding, there's so many great stories in this community I live in. There's just endless stories, and so I'm seeing myself putting these together in a more of a TV form, or maybe a documentary form, and then showing that. You know, I'd like to really take something, kind of capture a bit of our culture and our area, and take that out and show that someplace. So for me, that's something I see in the next year, working towards either a TV show or maybe just a short film, something like that.
And do you work outside of your area? Do you work in other parts of the United States and other countries?
Sometimes if Mike can get a job someplace, you know, somebody says, hey, come and shoot a video for us. Yeah, I'm actually been working with a gentleman that is helping to drill wells in Haiti right now, and so I've been really hoping to go to Haiti in the next, like, 6 months to film what's going on over there. So I love working internationally and in other countries, and that's something in the future I'd like to be doing more of. So, I love to travel and shoot video wherever the door opens up.
Yeah, in fact, one of your first projects you ever worked on was in Haiti. You seem to be drawn to Haiti in some way.
I know. It keeps coming back to me, actually. The whole time I've been working on this project the last few weeks, I've just been remembering everything when I was there. It's one of those countries you go to and you never leave. It's always with you, and the things you see there, just, it changes you forever, and it was just a life-changing experience. So if you ever have a chance, anybody out there, to go to a third-world country, I'd say take it. You know, as risky and as crazy as it seems it to be, it was a great experience for me. But yeah, Haiti shot a promotional video for a missionary, actually, that had been working there and had literally worked his whole life there, still is there, actually, in Fond du Lac, Haiti, and he changed the entire community. He started a school, took 2 years to hand dig a well, that a crazy story, built roads, started a health clinic, hospital, a bank, farming, cooperative, started bringing in trucks to haul out food. I mean, like, literally transformed an entire region, this whole area of Haiti, and we got to go in there and see the fruits of all of his labor for all those years in film, and it was just a great experience.
And that, you did that project how long ago now? Was that 10 years ago?
That was in, like, 96, 97. That was my senior project in college, was to do that. So, yeah, it was really cool.
It's still a great film. Is there a way for people to see that, if they want to see that film?
I have portions of it up on YouTube, and I have it on my turnerarts.org, which is my kind of artsy-fartsy website, but they can view the Haiti clip there. It's turnerarts.org, and go there and click on videos in Haiti, and they can watch a portion of it.
Well, because one of the people in our chat room is born in Brooklyn, but also from Haiti, and he was the question was, well, number one, he's starting a project there, but also the one you just did. Tell us a little bit more about that project. You just interviewed an individual. He's a missionary, right? This is a new person, totally separate from the first film.
Yeah,
interviewed for a story on your website. Who's working in Haiti. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, a gentleman from this area, born and raised here, took a trip in 91 to Haiti, and just saw the need for water, obviously clean water, and felt like he was just called to do something about it. So he came home, talked some people in his church into buying an actual well drilling rig, and and went over there and hand, like, actually drilled a well himself, having no experience, didn't know anything about it. And they went and drilled this well and then went to drill a second well. It was successful, went to drill a second well and lost the bit, and everything went the whole project. But then he turned around and came back to the United States and has been fundraising. And so far they've drilled 10 wells and they have 30 projected spots that they want to fulfill. And so I heard this story and I'm like, man, this is an amazing story. A guy's been doing this for like almost 20 years, you know, working at this. And so far they've done 10 wells. And after the earthquake here recently, a lot of the wells in the country, the water table dropped. And so they no longer are functioning. And so they have a huge need for water right now. And more than just bottled water, you know, they need to tap that, the water that flows right under that country. There's enough water there in Haiti actually to fulfill the need to provide water to everybody, but they just don't have the funds and to do this, to go out and drill these wells. So, you know, he's out fundraising doing this, and just a great story.
Yeah, and I encourage everyone to visit your site and watch some more on that. And that's just so everybody knows, we posted it in the chat room, but it's also for people who are tuning in and listening. It's at www.thumbmagazine.com. You can watch that story and get involved. So are you going to be going to Haiti anytime soon again?
I want to. We've been talking about it. I actually was looking at plane tickets online the other day. It was kind of like, what's it going to take to get there? But yeah, there's a lot more to be shown. And I just did this story without any video footage. I only had pictures to kind of retell the story. And I'd love to go over there and really show some of the more of what's going on. And so yeah.
Well, maybe we can get a few different people together who've got projects going on, and everybody can get you over there. How's that sound?
You can do a bunch
of projects over there. All right.
Port of Prince, here we come. Let's go, Mike. You should come, too.
I'm there. You know I'll go.
Yeah.
Maria, did you have any other questions for
our
friend?
Where do you see yourself in 5 years, and do you have anything to do with helping children?
Do I have anything to do with helping children? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know how to answer the five-year question because I really don't even know where I'm going to be a year from now. I know where I'd like to be. So quite honestly, I really don't know how to answer that. I don't really have a five-year plan. So I'm just being honest. I just kind of take it a day at a time, and I believe there's enough to worry about in one day, let alone, you know, 5 years. But, you know, I'd love to see myself working more with nonprofits overseas and doing video production for people that really need it. You know, we have some amazing people all over this world that just don't have the funds and they don't have the know-how or the way to share their stories with the world. And, man, I'd love to have some type of company that was able to do that, provide that. I don't know how that would all come together, but I mean that'd be something that would be sweet for 5 years
from
now.
The reason why I ask is because we're starting the orphanage in Greece on the island of Crete. It's the first orphanage there. Yes, so that's why, and I would love to see you do something, and that's why I asked you about the children.
Oh yeah, I love kids. Actually, I worked for 8 years in youth ministry here in the Thumb. When I moved up here, it's been always been something I've done, is work with kids, mainly junior high and senior high age kids. But yeah, I have a big heart for kids, so that would be awesome. We should talk more.
No problem.
Well, see, I mean that's a big thing about talking about that idea you have, Casey, because I really think it's something that you know, people could get behind, is a nonprofit company like you're talking about doing that provides video production services and marketing to these kinds of organizations that just don't have the funds to get the word out. But if they were able to get some visibility, you know, and get some people seeing what's going on, they could make a drastic difference in not only their fundraising but getting awareness for what they're doing. So, you know, really, you know, I encourage you to continue to go down that route and look at that route, because I know it's something you would love to do. And I think there's a lot of people that would like to support something like that that's out there telling these stories of people that just need to be told all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been a dream of mine for a long time. So, you know, I just take it a day at a time.
Let's make that dream come true. Let's start it on the island of Crete.
All right. I've never been there, so.
Well, we're down, like, right the very end of our time, and our next guest, Patrick Matthew, I see, is in the queue. Keith, are you going to stick around with us for a while?
If you want me to, I'm game. I'd love to hang out with Patrick. I haven't talked to him in a while.
All right, yeah, we'll definitely keep you on, but really quickly before we switch into our next segment with Patrick, tell our listeners a little bit about where they can find out more about you.
Okay, well, you can visit my website. It's turnerarts.org to see just the more artistic side of what I do. And then for those that are interested in thumbmagazine.com, that is where you can check out all the different stories and the goings-ons of the thumb of Michigan. The Michigan looks like a mitten, and that's the thumb area where I live. And you can check out the greatest and latest stories there. So those are two places right there.
And Casey, really quickly, if there was one thing you wanted people to know that tuned in tonight, what would that be?
Whew, really quickly, man.
Don't you love I put you on the spot like this?
Mike, I don't know, man. I'm drawing a blank, man. I didn't have enough caffeine today.
I can't believe I stumped
thing,
you.
You did. You put me on the spot. I was ready to be done, man. I was ready to just hang out. I want to, rather than say something that's smart and all whatever I could say, I just want to encourage people to take note of what Anything But Ordinary is doing and this radio show and the film and all that you guys have been a part of. And just really encourage people to have faith and believe that there is a greater purpose to our lives, that our lives have meaning, and we were created with purpose. And I think if I could just share that with people, that'd be the one thing I'd want to really encourage people on tonight. So,
well, Casey, thank you, and we're going to keep you around. We're going to keep you around until the end of the show. So you're stuck with us.
All right. Cool.
All right, that's Casey Turner. He is entrepreneur and creator of thumbmagazine.com. He is also a good friend of mine and also the director and editor of my film and his film, really, too. I mean, really a big part of that vision of what that film became is because of Casey and all the efforts he put into editing it. I had a kind of an overall vision of what I wanted to do it, but really the way it was put together really all the credit goes to Casey. So I just want to let everybody know that. And we're going to take a quick 30-second break, and we're going to be back with author and speaker Patrick Matthew.
Hey, this is Chris Gloss, the Possibilitarian, and I want to work with you. If you're ready to increase your knowledge, explode your earning potential, and blow the competition out of the water, that's right, no dealing with traffic jams, crazy gas prices. Simply pick up the phone. At Possibilitarian State University, all you need is a phone and a hunger for increasing your personal and professional life. Please visit www.psuglobal.com. That's psuglobal.com. Possibilitarian State University is the place for you. Come on over and get your learning on. This is Chris Gloss, the Possibilitarian.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Anything But Ordinary Radio with Michael McCleary and Maria DiGiovanni. And tonight we have Casey Turner. And now, at the bottom of the hour, we have our good friend, speaker and author Patrick Matthew is with us. And he believes that his mission in life is to help people live lives that are fearless, focused, and free from regrets. He's been a motivational keynote speaker since 2003, been featured in a full-length documentary film, I think I know where that might have been, and appeared on numerous television and radio programs, including an hour-long interview with Dr. Oz on Oprah and Friends. He's an award-winning motivational speaker and author. He shares his Mortality Manifesto and shows audiences the way to a new and vibrant outlook on life. His first book, which I highly, highly, highly recommend, What's Your Expiry Date? Embrace Your Mortality, Live with Vitality, has received widespread acclaim and has helped countless people to change their lives for the better. He is a certified master coach trainer with the Certified Coaches Federation, and he is from, resides just outside Toronto, Ontario, one of my favorite cities in the world. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
You know, Patrick, tonight's discussion is about extraordinary journeys and taking those steps every day to create what it is that we want in our life. And we just shared time with Casey, and kind of he was talking about that as well. And you've had a fascinating journey. I think you wouldn't even have quite expected yourself the way it's gone. Tell us a little bit about your background in brief, for those that don't know your story, because your story is fascinating, and how it's really changed your outlook on life. And I know your outlook has even changed in the last year. I mean, things have continued to change in your life and for the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was born with congenital heart defects, about four or five different things wrong with my heart. And I've been told by cardiologists all my life that if anybody were ever to build a heart the way mine is built, nobody would ever expect it to run. So, you know, growing up, it was kind of amusing because I was stumping all these medical experts. And that's kind of how I lived. I was very blessed, very fortunate. No medications, no surgery. They didn't understand why it was working, so they weren't going to go in and try to fix it. But it really didn't impact me as a kid. I couldn't run for very long, but that was about the extent of it. Then when I turned 18, I met a new cardiologist because I changed from the children's hospital systems to the adult systems. And a cardiologist there decided to tell me, I'm not sure why he decided, but for whatever reason decided to tell me when I'm going to die. And so at the age of 18, they told me, we hope you live to be 30. And, you know, as you can imagine, that took some getting used to. That took me about 6 years to figure out, well, geez, what do you do with that? You know, 18, you think you've got the world figured out. You think it's finally your time and you have all the answers and, you know, you're past middle age. So what I eventually came to realize is that that's the best news that anybody ever could have given me. Because it woke me up to the fact that nobody's guaranteed any amount of time. You know, there's no good reason why any of us got up today. Nobody owes us, you know, any amount of time whatsoever. So if you have the time, use it wisely. And that's what I've been dealing with. And that's kind of the journey that got me going.
Yeah, and, you know, you really concentrate a lot on that aspect, especially when we first met, geez, now. I can't believe it's been almost 5 years since we first sat down for that interview. And for anybody who's seen it, we actually sat down for the interview in a funeral home in front of a whole bunch of caskets. and it was a great, great interview. And like I said, numerous people continue to tell me how great that interview is. But you really focused at that time on mortality. But now mm-hmm. you're really focusing more on people's life and living every day every day the fullest. And so what kind of, you know, what created that evolution for you from moving along that path?
Well, and you're right. For a number of years, that's what I was talking about. I was, you know, I like to explain myself, you know, I'm the third ghost from the Christmas Carol. You know, like Scrooge doesn't change his ways, won't change his ways. Then the third ghost shows up and shows him his grave. And, oh, my God, Scrooge says, okay, fine, I'll change. And that was me. I relished the idea of going around scaring people into believing or into realizing and finally acknowledging that, you know, they don't get forever. So what are they going to do with that time? And that worked really well for me. You know, it felt very genuine. It still is exactly who I am. And I live that message on a daily basis. I mean, what I did was took the numerals of my 30th birthday, and that's what I call my expiry date, and I turned them into a barcode, and I tattooed them on my shoulder. And now this was years before I started speaking and writing about it, and I did that just for me, so that every day I'd see that in the shower, and it would be a really solid reminder that, oh, yeah, I better do something important today. So it's ingrained in me. It's tattooed on me. That's who I am. But a number of years later, about 12 years after that, I actually got the opportunity to test all this stuff out. I had a stroke one day, and, you know, very surreal experience. But and I actually had one of those sort of Hollywood moments that I really only thought happened in the movies, where I realized, you know, I couldn't think of what my computer was for. I sat down at my desk in my home office and looked at my laptop and had no idea what it was. And then when I went to type on it, I couldn't feel my right arm. Like it was moving and it was responding, but it just didn't feel like mine. And then I realized I couldn't see out of my right eye. And in that moment, I thought, oh, geez, I'm having a stroke. And then, you know, the Hollywood screen cut comes in, everything freezes, and I have this little conversation with myself. And I thought, okay, wise guy, you know, Mr. Barcode Tattoo guy, Mr., you know, Mortality guy, what do you have to say about this? You know, if this is it, if there's, you know, a clot on its way to your brain right this second and you've got 30 seconds left, how do you feel about that? And I did a quick inventory and said, well, you know what? All in all, you know, would I like more time? Absolutely. Is there more that I want to achieve? You bet. But if this is all I get, I'm happy with where I am. And, you know, I realize that's a pretty humbling thing. And if any of the work that I've ever done and the work that I'm going to continue to do will get someone to the point where at that last, potentially last moment of their life, they're able to look back and be satisfied. And that's why, as you mentioned, I talk about helping people live lives that are fearless, focused, and free from regret. And I don't just mean on, you know, on the good days. I mean every day, and especially at the end. So that's kind of, you know, affirmed what I was doing, but it also brought me through the other side to say, okay, great, now that you've got people thinking that way, what do they want to do? And so my message has kind of evolved into helping people to choose the lives that they want. And, you know, the idea of choosing your life or choosing the life that you want seems pretty easy, seems pretty straightforward, but I, you know, put the mortality slant on it and say, no, I don't mean the life that you want under today's circumstances or the life that you want down the easy road. I mean the life that you really want at the core of your being, and helping people to get really honest with themselves and figure out what their priorities are and what they really want to be doing.
Maria?
Patrick,
I'm,
can you
I'm
tell
thinking
me
of a
little...
question.
Okay, I've got one. you have something called a morality manifesto.
Mortality.
Can you tell me?
Yeah,
mortality,
I'm not going to talk
sorry.
About morality. That's a
I'm
whole
reading,
other manifesto.
I'm thinking, well, actually, I want to talk about the other one, but no, mortality manifesto. Sorry about that. Tell me about that.
Sure. The Mortality Manifesto is something that I came up with just sort of like a daily tool for reflection. And it's really quick, and I'll share it with you and with your listeners. It says, I was born and I will die. I accept this and I embrace it. I do not dwell on the past, nor do I waste time worrying about the future. I use each moment to the fullest. I always strive to ensure that my every thought, word, and action is moving me in the direction of my dreams. Because fear is based on an imagined future, my focus on the present makes me fearless. Accepting my mortality allows me to live a life full of vitality and power, a life filled with joy, a life with no regrets. This is the gift I give to myself today and every day. And if anybody wants to get a copy of that, it's at mortalitymanifesto.com. You can download it right there.
I was just going to say, where can people go to get that? Because I knew you had that out there on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Maria, did you have a follow-up on that? Or?
Not. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I wanted to ask you before I jumped in. In fact, I thought I'd bring in real quick, Mr. Turner is with us. Casey.
Yeah, hey.
Casey, how's it going, Patrick?
How are you? Last
I'm
time I saw you, I think we were in a cemetery.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't left. No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
go ahead.
It's kind of funny. Yeah, go ahead, Casey.
No, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, the last time, this is true. I just want to give everybody this little insight. The last time that we did all get together, in fact, the last time that Casey and Patrick ran across each other was actually in a cemetery. We were shooting, after we did the interview, we shot some B-roll in a cemetery in Guelph, Ontario. And it's funny because I don't think we expected it at that time, how much what you shared with us would really go through the rest of the film, because we close our film in a cemetery of all places, and it's just interesting to me that, you know, as one of the early interviews that we did, we were there in the cemetery, and then we end up 5 years later finishing the closing of the film, and we end up in the cemetery. So I just thought it was interesting, and maybe if Casey wanted to share a little bit on that, he's welcome to.
Yeah, Patrick, I just want to thank you for having your quote stuck in my mind now for, I don't know, 6 years or so here, but like, you know, you're going through your footage over and over and over again, you tend to start to recite things, but like Mike said, it was just like, you know, we had to deal with death to move on to life, and like, I really love what you talk about and what you're out sharing with other people and your story. Like, a lot of people, when they see the film, they're like, man, you just start with the heavy stuff. You just bring it on, you know. It's like, it's so hard to watch this, but the reality is, like, you know, yeah, because we got to get through some of these issues before we can really live. And, like, I guess. I don't question. I just want to thank you for just teaching what you teach and sharing that stuff with us. At the time, I was like, I just thought it was cool to be in a funeral parlor filming this interview and in a cemetery, but little did I know, you know, going back on it, it probably, for me, it was the most profound interview of the film, and for me, it was my favorite in editing, so I fully enjoyed it. And if you haven't seen the film, people, go check it out, see Patrick's section, it's awesome.
Well, thank you. Thanks, now, what's the quote that stuck with you?
I don't know.
Oh, I knew
which
he was
going
back to something like that.
Yeah, I know. He's going to stick me on the spot here. yeah, great. Thanks a lot, Patrick. No,
sorry. Well, I thought you were going to tell us what it was. Okay, you're saving him. Go ahead, Maria.
Patrick, when you have a person in front of you that cannot get past something that is causing a profound fear in them, mm-hmm. and that person is logical enough to know what fear truly is, how do you get them past that?
Well, I mean, if they're logical enough to understand what fear really is, that usually takes care of itself. I mean, when I talk in the Mortality Manifesto about the idea of, let me just go back to it here, you know, not dwelling in the past or wasting time worrying about the future. And I say that fear is based on an imagined future. If you're having any fear around something, I guarantee that it's because you're not in the present. You're either anticipating something that may or may not happen, or you're reliving something that happened and you're fearing that it might happen again. But in either of those instances, you're not present. You're not where you are today. So unless there is, you know, a bus a few feet away from you traveling at high speed, there's not a whole lot of need to fear in this exact moment. And the only thing that fear does when you do that is it clogs up that logical and takes away the possibilities. And that's, you know, that's what I help people do, is, you know, get centered again, get back to focus, and then discover what the possibilities are. And again, I'll go back to what I was talking about earlier in terms of the evolution of my message. It's about choosing the life you want. So set the fear aside, realize where you are, and decide where do you choose to go from here.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, and Patrick, I want to get into kind of a question in regards to that, because we had this discussion kind of, you know, in Toronto after the film, and not to go into great depth about the circumstances behind it, but I find it interesting because when you were able to apply that skill for yourself, your life really changed, because when you started going, man, this isn't really where I expected or want to be. I mean, this isn't where I want to be in my life, and you made changes in your life, all of a sudden those things that you were looking to do and to become all of a sudden started happening for you. tell us a little bit about making decisions like that. You know, it sometimes may look difficult on the outside, but really are what you need to do.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, a lot of times we can come up with a million reasons why something won't work or why we can't do it or what other people are going to say. But, again, I tend to base everything on that idea of could you live with that or could you die with that? And you know, one of the lines that I remember from the film this wasn't a rehearsed thing. It was just an answer to a question you asked me. You know, a lot of people say, yeah, I can live with that. When they're doing decision-making or they're trying to justify things, they'll say, yeah, I can live with that. And that's important. You need to be able to live with something. But I, from my perspective, I say, but can you die with that? I mean, if, you know, the whole idea of a means to an end or the whole idea of putting things on hold or putting them off until the right time or until there's enough time or until the money shows up or until, you know, that kind of game you can play with yourself, that only works if you could die at peace not having achieved it. And, you know, that's kind of the golden rule for me is whenever you find yourself out of alignment, whenever you're down a road, however far down it is, but whenever you're down a road that you're not comfortable with anymore, that doesn't give you what you need to have that peace towards the end, then it's time for a change. And that could be drastic, it could be painful, it could be, you know, a million different things, but what's your life worth to you? And, you know, whether it's following a dream, whether it's, you know, changing your career, whether it's changing relationships, whatever the case may be, how important is your life to you? And that's what, you know, helps move people.
Yeah, really, it's that art of making a decision. You know, I found even with me getting out into the speaking circuit and starting to speak, something I wanted to do for a long time, and I always had to have reasons why I wasn't doing it or whatever. And when I started saying, you know, I'd made a decision, look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to set up my own program. I'm going to start doing it. And I went out to a company and said, you know, look, I've put together my own speaking program that I know I can really help your company if you bring me in. And I'll even do it for hardly anything if you'll bring me in and I can get the experience and have the, you know, have the testimonial. You know, I'm happy to do it for you. And they were happy to bring me in. And once I made that decision, it was amazing how other things started to fall into place. Other people started saying, hey, why don't you come speak for us? And why don't you do this? And when I made that decision. But I had to make the decision first in order for it to happen.
Yeah, well, that's just it. I mean, I've heard, I don't know who said it first, but, you know, the idea that we teach the world how to treat us. And that starts with your own self-talk. You know, if you're telling yourself, this won't work, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, well, you're dead. You're not going anywhere. That dream is over. But if you start to take those steps, if you start to say, no, you know what, this is my life and this is my choice and this is what I'm doing, then there's a lot of power in that. That can also be the scariest choice move you're ever going to make. But once you take that step, the world just sort of says, okay, if that's where we're going, then that's where we're going. And, you know, things will start to line up. Now, it's not a magic bullet, but if you come at the world with that new perspective, that's where the world's going to meet you.
Maria, do you have anything
I
else?
I do. Patrick.
I thought you would.
A little birdie told me that you have pretty good jokes. You were an amateur stand-up comedian.
Yes.
Would you like to share a joke?
No, I don't really. Two guys walk into a bar. That's not my style of comedy. Yeah, you know, I did.
How was doing that though?
Oh, this is one of those things I had to do. You know, my father had a great sense of humor, and people always used to say to him, "You missed your calling. You should have been a comedian." And every so often, I'd see him kind of, you know, mull that over for a second and think, "Geez, I wonder." And, you know, I was fortunate enough to inherit his incredibly good looks and also his sense of humor. See, that's the kind of humor that I do.
Sorry,
But and you know, people said the same sort of things to me, and I thought, you know what, why not go and try this? I was living in Montreal. There's all kinds of comedy clubs there. They do the comedy festival, but I went to a comedy club, went to their open mic night, and you know, put together a little routine, jumped on stage and did it, and it was a ton of fun. I mean, being a speaker, it wasn't a big stretch, but you know, comedy is very different from giving a controlled presentation. And what was interesting is I did it three times. So I did the same presentation twice and very different reactions. And, you know, so I got to kind of see how it works, and now I can say that I've done it. So, and I also know that it's not for me. I mean, you know, I could never live that life. It's just not the lifestyle that I'm looking for, but it was a ton of fun. One of those things that if you're not used to doing it, I mean, people always say that, you know, the number one fear that people will talk about is getting up and speaking in public. And in some surveys that comes out, you know, ahead of death. Well, I speak in public about death. So I'm like the most fearless guy on the planet.
Yeah, there you go.
But what I'd encourage anybody to do is, you know, get up and talk someplace, make a presentation, join Toastmasters, do something. If there's something in you that you've always thought, I wonder what that would be like, go try it. You know, promise yourself you're going to do it this week. Or at least, you know, go to a website or pick up the phone and make a call and see when the next open mic night is. Or if you have musical inklings, you know, when do they have an open mic night at a coffee house or something where you could go and try something out? Because the worst that's going to happen is you can say, well, that's not for me. And, you know, bring one close friend. That's what I did, is I brought one close friend who promised not to, you know, divulge if it went horribly, and go try it out.
Awesome advice, Patrick. And we're almost out of time. We've only got a couple minutes left on the show. Really quickly, if you don't mind sharing with our audience, Casey says, hey, I live in a box. Thanks, Casey. And you're still on the line. You know, you can share that out loud. You don't have to share the chat room. But, Patrick, where can people find out more about you?
Probably the best place to start is the Mortality Manifesto. There's just mortalitymanifesto.com. That will get you a copy of that. And from there, I would suggest go to choosethelifeyouwant.com. And there's, you know, that's the blogs there. Some videos are there. Information on coaching and speaking is there as well, so that will really, you know, give you a sense for it. And please, you know, drop by, anybody who's heard this either live tonight or listen to it on rebroadcast, drop by, leave some comments, and let's get some discussions going.
Awesome. And also too, you can visit anythingbutordinary.net and purchase a copy of the film, and you can see Patrick's interview. Sorry, I had to do that shameless self-promotion right there as well.
No, absolutely.
All right. Well, Patrick, I really appreciate the time you spent with us, Casey, the time you spent with us as well. Both of you, I really appreciate both of you. I really appreciate your friendships, and I'm looking forward to continuing to work with you and spend time with you both in the future.
Excellent. Mike, keep up the great work. You guys are doing some great stuff, you and Maria here, and the world needs more of it.
Yeah, and Mike, happy 1 year anniversary to releasing your film, buddy.
Yay!
Oh yeah, I guess it has been. Well, congratulations to you too.
Yeah, it was,
well,
it was 1 year.
Yeah. I never planned that, but that changed out. That turned out that way, didn't it?
Just wanted to say that.
Interesting.
So congrats, man.
Interesting. I had both of you on at this time, and it was a year ago. Well,
no
cool
coincidences in life, Michael.
I know. Must have been my subconscious talking.
Well, you
all
did a great job.
Thank you both for being on. I so appreciate it.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
All right. You were listening to Casey Turner of Thumb Magazine and also the director and editor of An Anything But Ordinary Journey, and Patrick Matthew of ChooseTheLifeYouWant.com. Join him there, and lots of great stuff. From Patrick, I want to encourage all of you to join us next week. We do this every week, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. And next week, we're going to be talking new ideas, thinking outside the box. We talked a little bit about that tonight, but thinking outside the box with the next 2 weeks, actually, members of those who spoke at the TEDx Flint conference. So for any of you who are TED followers or want to know more about TED, it's a great opportunity to see some great people. Thanks, Maria. We got to go. I really appreciate you being with me every week.
I love it, Michael. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Thanks, all of our listeners. Go out there. Be extraordinary. We'll see you all next week. Don't you dare.